What's going on, my friend? Tony Stuffin here, back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today, like Jason Derulo, I'm riding solo. And I hope you understand that joke and that reference. It's an older song by Jay Derulo, but I do love some Jay Derulo. So let me know if you love him too. But today, you know, I've interviewed a lot of really cool people on this podcast, and I hope you have learned as much as I have from the inspirational guests. And, you know, that was the whole reason why I wanted to start this podcast, was to show examples of people who maybe went against the grain, or who went against great odds, or who, you know, overcame great adversity and have achieved success. And, you know, to show those as examples, and just like a collection of that, to inspire you, and so you can relate, and whatever you are facing with your challenges today, you know, you have examples of people who have gone through that, so you can use those to get you through your own life and your own challenges as you go on to achieve great, great things. But, you know, I realized I've never told my story. So obviously in the first one, I told my entrepreneurial story of like how I left my job and started my online business and did all that, but I've never like told my story. And I've given bits and pieces of it here and there. And I've had people reach out and ask me questions about it and want to know more. So I figured, you know, why not? I'll just tell my hero's journey, my actual struggles, challenges, and adversity, and how it got me to where I am today. So, you know, I guess I've delayed doing this for a while because, well, my past has some challenges in it, and it has some adversity. And there's some things that I'll speak openly about today that I've never really told too many people about. So I guess I could start it off. How I got into health and fitness was, it all started for me with pain. And, you know, I was 14 years old, and I remember coming home from school one day, and, you know, my dad sat me down on the couch and he told me that my mom was gone. And so for me at that age, you know, I was obviously close to my mom. We had a, you know, very good relationship. I didn't really know any reason why she would leave or why she'd want to leave or anything like that. But I remember him telling me she was gone and she wasn't coming back. And, you know, that's kind of what started the next few years of a lot of challenges, a lot of adversity. You know, my dad told me as I was sitting on the couch that day that, you know, we were behind on our mortgage and we potentially could lose our home. And that's when he taught me the term bankruptcy, Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And I remember sitting there like scared, you know, that's obviously a scary term. And I remember asking him, you know, Dad, what does that mean? And I remember him looking at me and saying, it's a second chance for us. And, you know, obviously there were some questions, some, you know, things I wanted to know, things that, you know, he even couldn't answer, like why mom left, you know, why we were going to be faced with these challenges, you know, all those types of things. But I do remember one thing distinctly that he told me in that moment. And that was that, you know, in this world, I could have whatever I wanted as long as I was willing to do the work. And to me, that was like a pivotal lesson that I learned in that moment, right? So that was a shocking moment. That was a challenging moment for anyone to hear, let alone a 14-year-old, you know, young kid. But my dad did something really positive there, and he took a challenge, he took an adversity, and he used it to teach me a lesson. And the lesson was, you know, we're going to be faced with some challenges the next few years, but these challenges are here to make you, not break you. And you can obtain anything you want in this world, any type of success, any type of career, any type of job, any type of relationship, as long as you're willing to do the work with it. And that's when I learned right in that moment two key things. One, to, you know, go work for whatever I wanted. And two, that, you know, any adversity can bring with it the opportunity for a lesson and the opportunity to learn something and to reframe the adversity to serve as an advantage. So that was a pivotal point. So the next few years, you know, they were challenging. It was just my dad and I, my sister was away at school. My mom was in and out. You know, I recall one distinct memory that's somewhat hard to talk about, but I was coming home from school and my dad was in the front door and he told me, don't come out and look out the door. And I remember walking out, of course, I didn't listen. And I remember walking out the door and looking, and it was my mom. She was in the street and there was an ambulance and she was being put in the back of the ambulance forced, or like against her, you know, will. But you could tell she was high or she was drugged up or something, because she was like slurring her words and she was screaming at my dad. And of course, everyone in the neighborhood was out watching, you know, kind of like for evening entertainment, seeing what was going on. So I remember that distinctly. I remember my mom coming home a few times here and there. She was, you know, either high or drugged up or something, you know, she wasn't herself. So those are the last real images I have of my mother. And then one day when I was 18, so I was like a freshman in college, I went to a community college, by the school to save money, you know, do the smart thing. And I remember my dad waking me up one morning and my sister was there. And I remember him telling me that my mom was gone. She had died. And she actually had passed away about a mile away from our house. She was in like a extended living center or something like that. It was like a, or kind of like a hotel apartment, something like that. But she had died. And that to me was like, it was a hard moment, because it was just so, I had so much pain and so much frustration, so much anxiety built in. I always thought later on in my life, I would be able to have a relationship with my mother, and it was taken away from me in that moment. So here I am, I'm 18. I'm a very angry, confused, you know, young male, and a lot of testosterone, a lot of, again, anger and frustration. And throughout the years from 14 to 18, the only thing that helped me relieve the anxiety, the stress, the pressure that I was feeling, you know, was working out. My dad had a weight bench in the basement. He taught me how to work out when I was younger. I was like 13, 14. Then that led to me getting a gym membership at the YMCA and then Bally's and all that. And I loved it so much, because for me, it was a release. It was a way for me to break away from the pain from, you know, being at home, the frustration from being at home, the fear of not being able to pay our bills, the fear of, you know, what was going to happen with my mom and all that. It was an escape. It was something I could control. It was something that I could control in the aspect of I could go there, I could zone out, I could, you know, lift weights and feel good. And I love the way it made me feel so much. That's what, you know, really sparked for me the love for to want to take that and to teach that to other people. I wanted to help other people who had frustrations, who had challenges, who had, you know, adversity, and I wanted to teach them how to use health and fitness as a means to get over that. So when I was 18, I started personal training at an LA Fitness. And if you know about LA Fitness personal training, it's not really the best. They paid you $6 a session, okay? But unlike most people, I didn't have this sense of entitlement. I didn't have this sense of like, oh, I need to make, you know, a ton of money right away, or that's too low for me. I just wanted to learn. And the fact that I was going to be paid even $12 an hour to learn was great. And I think that's a big mistake most people make. And I can speak about health and fitness, but they want to come out and they want to charge the big dollars. They want to have all the clients. They want to, you know, have the big six-figure business. But you can't. You have to pay your dues. You have to learn. Like, I always get questions from people like, how do you learn coaching? Well, you learn coaching by coaching, right? And for most people, you either start coaching for free or for very, very, very cheap. Like I did. I was paid $6 a session. Okay. Was that great? No, but it was a learning experience. It was a way for me to, at 18 years old, start to hone my craft and take all that passion I had to help other people from the pain I went through and to, you know, use that as a means to help other people. But you have to refine the process. When anyone starts anything, you're not good at it, right? Whatever job, whatever career, when you start a relationship, you're not really good at it, right? Whatever it is, whenever you start, you're not that good. So you have to hone that craft, and you do that through time under tension and experience. So that's what I did then. You know, also I was, I had a group of friends that were good guys, but you know, they were kind of caught up in some bad things. And I had another pivotal event happen to me. So, you know, I won't disclose it fully, because at this point in my life at 27, it's quite embarrassing. But again, I was just angry at the world. Looking back at it and reflecting in this moment as I'm speaking to you, I was angry at the world. So I went out and I, you know, got caught up in some trouble with a group of guys. And you know, we were doing some things that weren't exactly legal. And I remember one day I was supposed to go over there to their apartment and hang out with them and, you know, do whatever. But for whatever reason, I didn't. And I woke up the next morning and my buddy, Chris Bloodworth, if you listen to this, I love you. He was one of my best friends, still is one of my best friends. He was in my wedding. He sent me a text message and he said, "Your buddies made the front page news. I hope you had nothing to do with that." Because he kind of knew something was going on. You know, he knew I was up to no good because he's an older, wiser soul than I am. And he's a good older brother type friend. You know, he looked out for me. So I went to my computer and I looked up, you know, the newspaper, and I saw my two friends were arrested for doing that thing that I said we were involved in. And, you know, by the grace of God, I wasn't with them that night. The night before was when they got arrested. It was the night, for whatever reason, I didn't go hang out with them, you know, and if I did, if, you know, fate went differently, if I did go out with them, I most likely would have been arrested too. And my life would have totally changed. I don't think I could have became a registered dietitian if I got arrested. So again, I won't talk too much more about that, but you know, that was another pivotal moment to where it kind of like snapped me and made me realize like what I was doing, the pain I had in the past, I had to let it go. You know, I could no longer like hold on to that frustration. I can no longer hold on to those pain points and those challenges and, you know, everything that made me feel like I was angry at the world, and I had to shift my perspective. You know, I was in college, like I said, at the time, I was in my first nutrition class and I was failing it. Here, I wanted to become a registered dietitian. I was failing nutrition because I wasn't studying. I wasn't doing the right thing. So again, adversity, challenge, you know, it was seeing my two best friends get, you know, put in prison for doing something. It was a huge like moment shift for me to where I realized like the path I was on was not serving me, and I had to shift. And I had to stop blaming the world. I had to stop, you know, blaming whatever, feeling like a victim. Like, you know, my mother was taken from me. I went through all these things as a kid. You know, the world owes me something. It was a good lesson to learn that the world doesn't owe you anything. And that we all are faced with challenges. And maybe your challenges are bigger than mine, or they're less than what mine were. But we're all faced with challenges. We're all faced with adversity. And it's no excuse. It's no excuse to ever take the victim mentality and to feel like the world owes you something. So that was a very good lesson I learned there. So that to me, like it changed my trajectory. I started studying. I started doing better in school. I started training more, getting better and better and better. And, you know, here's another funny lesson. I wanted obviously to become a dietitian, but whenever I would look at dietitian or dietetics curriculum, you know, I would always notice this one freaking class on there, organic chemistry. And if you're an RD, you know all about orgochem. It's not fun. It's the weed out class. It's a very hard class with like 400 people in it. At least that was the size of the one I went to at Wayne State. That's the college I graduated from. And it was freaking intimidating. Okay. So weed out means they try to get rid of you, you know, whatever major you're in, dietetics, nursing, engineering, pre-med, whatever, try and weed you out. And I, for the longest time, like battled with it. I said, I never took chemistry in high school. You know, I wasn't the best student in high school. I don't know anything about this. You know, why should I go be a dietitian? I'm just going to fail this. I'm not going to be able to pass. You know, I had fear mindset. I had scarcity mindset. I was talking myself out of what I really wanted, which was to be an RD, to, you know, like use all that frustration and pain and adversity to teach other people about health, fitness, and nutrition, make them healthy and happy. I had this passion. I had this purpose. I had this dream in my heart, but I was talking myself out of it before I ever even attempted it. I never even tried the class, but I was telling myself I was going to fail. Right? Can you relate to that? Like, have you ever done that in your own life with your own goals? Like, have you ever talked yourself out of something before you've ever even started? It's crazy, isn't it? You know, I didn't understand this at the time, but that's just our reptilian mind. That's our, you know, our subconscious mind trying to protect us. Like, your brain is designed for survival. Your entire body is designed for survival, but your brain especially. And when you go to step from the known, which is where you are today, into the unknown, for me at that time, it was the known of just easy college classes, and the unknown was the scary organic chemistry. And later in my life, it was the known of my secure job into the unknown of starting a business. Your brain will try and talk you out of it. And we can't blame the brain. It's job, okay? It's trying to protect us because it doesn't know what might happen out there, right? This is the primitive hardwiring that we have from like prehistoric times when it would say, oh, it's dark over there. There could be a saber-toothed tiger. There could be a freaking T-Rex. Don't go out there, right? Stay safe. Stay in the cave. We still have that hardwiring today in 2018, but it won't serve you until you learn to shut it off and like realize like, thank you, subconscious brain. Thank you, reptilian brain, for doing your job. But fuck that. I'm going all in on myself, and I'm going to go bet on myself and go obtain what I want. I've learned through life in my 27 years of being on this earth that what you desire the most is in the unknown, that your comfort zone is only there to limit you, okay, to neuter your growth. And when you step outside of that comfort zone, when you step into the scary organic chemistry class or the scary unknown of attempting, you know, health and fitness and nutrition and to achieve a healthy body weight, or you step in the unknown of starting that business, that's where the magic lies. That's where everything you want is at, but you just have to be brave enough to take the first steps and to go do it, okay? So I had this fateful meeting with an advisor. This was at Central Michigan University, because funny story, Chippewas, I went there for one semester and then it wasn't for me and I came back home and then I went to Wayne State. But I was a Chippewa for one semester. It's a college here in Michigan. Fire up Chips, right? All my friends went there, so it was a kind of a decision of probably why I wanted to go there at the time. But anyways, I met with a advisor there, and you know, we were talking about like career choices and, you know, declaring a major, whatever. And we talked about like IT and all that, because I thought, well, that's safe and that's a high paying field and blah, 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 blah. And I said, no, you know, I really don't like freaking computers that much. My IT guy, Keegan, he will vouch for that. And then I looked at like, you know, public relations, because I like people and I like to talk. My sister did public relations. And then I said, you know, to this advisor, well, I really love dietetics, but I don't think I should do it. And she said, well, why not? And I said, well, I don't know if it's for me or not. And, you know, I was just rationalizing over the fear of the stupid class. But she said, well, okay, why don't you go shadow some dietitians? And I said, well, I already did that, because back home I found local RDs. I literally just found a list of them. I emailed them all, because I was a very proactive person. I still am to this day. And you know, I emailed them all and I went and shadowed with a few, and Lisa Merrill was the woman. She probably won't ever listen to this, but thank you so much, Lisa, for just taking a student like I was, you know, and speaking with me for a few hours, and we stayed in contact throughout. She wrote my letter of recommendation for school, and just showing me the opportunities that were there for dietitians and for motivating me and encouraging me. And I told this advisor that I already did that. And she said, okay, well, you know, why don't you go do this other thing? And I said, well, I already did that too. And she's like, well, why don't you do this other thing? And I'm like, well, no, I already did that. And she just looks at me and says, so if you've done all these things, why don't you want to be a dietitian? Why don't you want to major in dietetics? And I said, okay, fine, I'll admit it. I'm afraid of organic chemistry. And I'm like, I don't know if I can pass it or not. I've never taken chemistry. I wasn't good at science in high school. I don't think I can pass it. And this woman just like looked at me dead in the face. And she said, don't ever let fear of something stop you from doing what you really want. And I'm like feeling emotional as I'm saying this, because I don't know this woman's name. I never met with her again. But dude, thank you so much for just saying that to a, you know, young student who was scared, nervous, you know, again, had all that scarcity mindset from younger, being younger, growing up, you know, all through those challenges in adversity. Like, thank you so much. It's people like you that gave someone like me the opportunities that I have today by just giving me that one piece of advice. And that's the piece of advice I want to share back to you today, is don't ever let fear of doing something stop you from going out and getting what you want. Like, I think about that so much. You know, if I never would have met with her, I never would have heard that advice, like what my life would have been like. Like, I'm literally sitting to you right now as a registered dietitian, owning my own business. I'm in my home office. I'm delivering this content to you that will hopefully inspire you and help you through your challenges. Like, all this never would have freaking happened if I never would have just taken organic chemistry that I freaking passed on the first time with a C+. It wasn't beautiful, but fuck it, I got through it. You know, and I took Orgo 2 and passed that. But it's just fear and doubt, like talking myself out of something that I never even attempted. So please, if you're listening to this, whatever your goals may be, entrepreneurial, health, fitness, business, whatever, don't freaking talk yourself out of it until you try. And then even if you try and fail, as long as you learn from it, as long as you learn from failure, and you rework your plan and redo your plan, come back even stronger, it's fucking worth it, okay? It's totally freaking worth it. What's worse? Staying where you are, staying in a place of uncomfortableness, staying in a place of unfulfillment, not going for your dreams, or going for your dreams, failing a couple times, and then eventually getting there. I'm only 27. I haven't lived an extremely long life, but what I have learned in my years, and just what I've learned from myself and my mentors who are older than me and more successful, and all the knowledge I've obtained from books and resources and reading things about successful men and women, failure is only failure if you freaking quit. But failure brings with it the equal seed of opportunity to learn and to get better and to grow. And sometimes we need failure to get us to the big term play that we really want, or the big term goal that we really, really want. Okay, so that was a fateful moment. You know, I went through dietetics. Obviously, I got accepted to Wayne State. I went through the dietetics program, And, you know, that was hard for me because I was there and I was learning all these things, but, you know, and I had to do the clinicals, I had to do the food service, and I almost quit a few times. I really did. My girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, Andrea, she talked me out of quitting, and so did my dad. And, you know, I wanted to quit because I was learning all these things. I was spending so much money. Like I was in massive, massive student loan debt. Like we had no money for school, so I had to take out loans. And in my last year, my dad had to take out loans too because I couldn't take out any more loans. Like the government cut me off. They're like, dude, you're maxed out. But I couldn't cover all my school bills with clinical. You have to pay for that. You know, so it was very expensive my last year. So my dad, who filed bankruptcy years earlier, who was, you know, piecing together back his life and just kind of getting back on his feet, had to take out freaking debt for me. And that really sunk, dude. That really sucked and sunk in deep and hit me hard, you know. So I felt like I couldn't quit, even though, you know, I felt like I was taking on all this debt and I was learning things that weren't really going to be applicable for me. You know, I wanted to be a private practice dietitian. I wanted to do like nutrition and performance. And I didn't want to learn about freaking food service, but I felt like I owed the people like my dad and my girlfriend at the time, Andrew, who, you know, gave me money, who helped me through all those challenges. I felt like I owed them too. I had to finish that. I had to become an RD. I had to fulfill my dream at the time and my passion to help other people. So I stuck with it, obviously, right where I am today. I got my RD and, you know, it was totally worth it. It was worth every single frustration, every single freaking dish I washed in food service, every clinical rotation, all the thousands, tens of thousands of dollars I made, or I'm sorry, I invested. And, you know, I was very grateful I did that. So that was my backstory. That's how I got into like dietetics and all the challenges I faced early on. And, you know, the frustrations and the adversity. And then obviously my entrepreneurial path, you know, I told that in the other podcast here. So you can go listen to that if you want to learn how I went from working in a big box gym to starting my own business. But I hope you can take away a few things from this, but really the main thing is just adversity and challenges and obstacles. They're there to build you. Okay. They're there to make you. They're not there to break you. And when you're in that moment, like I get it. It feels like it's the worst thing on the earth, right? Like when I was there and when I was younger, I was living in my dad's house in my dad's basement on that twin size bed, you know, I'll never forget it. And I didn't know if my mom was ever coming back. I didn't know if we would have money. You know, I remember one year on Christmas, we had like Chinese food. And then the next year we had like Burger King, you know, we didn't have much, but what I didn't realize in that moment is those challenges were strengthening me for like where I am today. And they were preparing me for where I am today. And they're giving me a message. They're giving me a voice. They're giving me passion to help other people, to help someone like you, again, achieve your goals, whether they're health, fitness, or business related. So where you're at today, you might be going through adversity. You might be going through challenges. You might feel like you're freaking trapped and there's no hope. And there's no way you're ever going to get out. And I understand that because I've been there too. But I promise you, if you stick through it, if you work through it, if you grind through it, if you, you know, if you work your butt off and just stay the course, that when you get through to the other side, it will be worth it. And the lessons you will learn, the adversity that you have faced and the adversity that you've conquered, it will give you purpose. It will give you like meaning and it will teach you something of value. Okay, so that's why I hope you take away from this. I don't tell this story for sympathy, so please don't, you know, don't send me a DM and say, "Oh my God, that was hard," or you know, "How did you get through that?" Whatever. I'm not doing that for that reason. I'm doing this to use this as a lesson to say that adversity is here to make you, not break you. Okay, I'm doing this to inspire you that whatever you're going through, if you stick with it, if you stick to your plan, if you choose yourself and bet on yourself and you don't let fear or limiting beliefs or that freaking reptilian brain talk you out of what you really want, if you put forth the effort and the work, right? That a lot of the things I didn't talk about was the 12-hour days I spent studying freaking organic chemistry or all the free tutoring sessions I would go to at the college, you know, on Friday nights or early Saturday morning. So giving up going out and having fun, all the early morning personal training sessions I did on Friday nights and Saturday mornings, you know, when all my other friends were out partying and having fun. If you're able to do the work and you stick to it, dude, the world is yours. You'll get whatever you want. So I hope this was beneficial to you. If you learned something from this or you took something away from this, or if this helped you with where you're at today, shoot me a DM. shoot me a message on Facebook or on Instagram. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. As always, my friends, thank you so, so much for listening to me. Every time someone sends me a message that the podcast has helped them or it's been beneficial to them, dude, that's mind-blowing, and I absolutely love it. And that's the reason why I do this all. I love hearing from you. Please send me a message or send me an email, TonyStephanDietitian@gmail.com. And as always, we will talk soon, my friend. Thanks.